The character of Nancy Drew, girl detective, is 74 years old this year. Her adventures have been updated for the 21st century in a just-released new series of mystery novels. Book critic Maureen Corrigan renders a verdict of foul play.
People who look down their noses at genre fiction do so in part because they think it's always the same old, same old. Once you've read one horror story, sci-fi novel, romance, or mystery, you've read them all. Not so. Much of the pleasure of reading a good work of genre fiction derives from appreciating how it rings changes on the classic formula. Of course, sometimes the tinkering goes too far, resulting in the literary equivalent of, say, Michael Jackson's face. Call me a traditionalist, but I'm afraid that what the makeover artists at Simon & Schuster's children's division have done to Nancy Drew is a crime. Nancy debuted in 1930, and her adventures have been gently updated every few decades or so, but never as drastically as in this just-published series of new novels. Let's start with the mantra of magical words that every red-blooded American Nancy Drew fan can recite as effortlessly as the Pledge of Allegiance. Nancy's hair is no longer Titian, it's strawberry blonde. She's older here, no longer frozen at 18, although it's not clear to me whether she's enrolled in college, like her steady boyfriend, Ned Nickerson, with whom she's now allowed full frontal contact. Her blue roadster, that vehicle of liberation that transported Nancy, her chums Bess and George, and her adoring readers to countless adventures, is now an environmentally friendly hybrid car. All of this mucking about has been done in an effort to make a new generation of preteen girl readers think that Nancy is cool, which is a word that our girl sleuth now uses. As Squeamish Bess would have said in one of the original mysteries, eek! The storylines of these first four new Nancy Drews still incline heavily toward finding missing treasure, and Nancy still daintily sips tea along with her new addiction, lattes. But the powers that be undertook a revision that, more than any of the others I've mentioned, all but destroys the core of the Nancy mystique. That is, a radical change in voice. The Nancy Drew adventures have always been narrated in the third person. In the new mysteries, Nancy speaks to us in the first person. Here are the opening words of A Race Against Time, the second book in the new series. My name is Nancy Drew, and I've always had this rule. If you're in the game, you play to win. Contrast that hard-boiled confession to this random passage from my vintage 1955 edition of The Witch Tree Symbol. From their years of friendship with the young detective, Bess and George had learned to let Nancy act as spokesman. She seemed to know just how much to reveal, whereas they were afraid they might give information that Nancy would prefer to keep secret for the time being. You hear the difference. This new Nancy is someone who wants to be the reader's friend. She spills her guts to us throughout this novel, confiding that she feels annoyed with Ned Nickerson and a wee bit rattled by a witchy female competitor. In the traditional books, we readers were kept at a white glove's distance from Nancy by the third-person voice. It's the same narrative voice that Dashiell Hammett uses in the greatest American mystery of them all, The Maltese Falcon, to maintain the air of inscrutability surrounding his cipher of a detective, Sam Spade. I began reading Nancy Drew at 8 years old, and I remember the thrill of stepping into her patrician 1930s world of tea rooms and people who said words like "a light" and "that's grand" in conversation. Her surroundings had little to do with mine, a small New York apartment where Meet the Beatles was spinning on the record player nonstop. But despite the class and chronological discord, I remember cherishing Nancy as a fantasy refuge, another way to imagine being, a girl who could win the admiration of adults as well as her fellow teens by her cool, aristocratic intelligence and neatly attractive way of dressing. I think these updated Nancy Drew mysteries that try so hard to be friendly and relevant signal a lack of faith both in their young readers and in the power of books themselves. A good story makes a reader want to venture outside of his or her world to read about something other. I have a hunch that the new Nancy Drews represent fallout from the prevailing identity politics approach to literature, whereby books are valued to the extent that they mirror their readers. That's just about all these new Nancy Drews do, hold a shallow mirror up to a preteen's world and plead, "Identify with me," whereas the old ones created a rich, strange alternative universe of pettifogs, jewel thieves, and possibilities.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.